The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. It's time for the Sharks Morning Skate with all the latest on San Jose Sharks hockey. Here are your hosts, Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
They're on the ice, and the fathers are just a couple of rows off of that ice surface here in Seattle, as it is the fathers' trip. The San Jose Sharks facing off against the Seattle Kraken for the third time this year. Four meetings between these two teams. The last one, Drew, is on April the 5th. This is the final time we visit this city. And how about this? If the Sharks win tonight, they'll be 3-0 against this team.
Yeah, you said that before we started this, and I was trying to remember back to when we went 2-0. When did we go 2-0?
End of November. There was a game at the Shark Tank. They won 8-5. Then they came up here the next game. It was not in back-to-back situation, just before that road trip back east. And they won by the score of 4-2 behind Mackenzie Blackwood's goaltending. But the last game, the San Jose Sharks relied on Yaroslav Askarov's goaltending and got on the winning track against the Pittsburgh Penguins, finally ending that lengthy six-game losing streak. I think one of the coolest things was, number one, Macklin Celebrini takes the opening faceoff against his childhood idol, Sidney Crosby. They play against each other. Crosby scores a goal, and then Macklin responds with a goal of his own, and it's the game winner. That, along with Yaroslav Askarov's amazing goaltending and sometimes stick handling, were real highlights for this very entertaining game.
It was entertaining, but the one thing that they did better than they had in the past was they skated the entire game. They kept moving their feet, and when when Sidney scored first, they came back, scored right away, and that was a really neat moment, you're right. But overall, they kept to the script. They kept doing what was working. And the thing that you have to do and the thing that was working was they were skating. And the one thing that they get into trouble with, the one thing that that slows them down is that they do themselves. They glide. And what I liked about them skating was defensively they were trying to pressure.
Here's a weird observation. These kids like to look at their iPads right as soon as they get back to the bench all the time. Yeah. And so that means they're not watching the game while it's going on. That can be good and that can be bad, can it?
I'd take them away. I'm old school, though. But you also have to understand where Macklin and Will and Henry and everybody, you know, with the majority of the guys, where they come from and when they were born. They're not like, you know, Dean Evason or Mike Sullivan or Rob Zettler or Doug Wilson. Those guys would come back to the bench. We didn't have those back then. We hardly had video back then. And they sat and they watched the game. I think it's interesting. I think a player should be watching and engaged in the game. But just because they're looking on the screen doesn't mean that they're not. So I think we have to just take it with the fact of, like we looked at the fathers coming off the plane, you and me. When you're older than your father, when the father is on the father's trip, what does that say? So I think as a couple of older gentlemen, and I'll use gentlemen very generously, I think it's just the sign of the times.
It is a sign of the times, and you know the sign of the times, too, is that the Sharks are learning. They're getting better at certain things, not necessarily showing in the standings, but that's happening around the entire NHL. I mean, you take a look at the entire league, and you've got all kinds of teams that are going through learning experiences.
This is one right here in Seattle. They made the coaching change, and they are, I think they're almost a 500 team. They're 500 in their last 10 games anyway. They're 5-5 in their last 10. But they're having trouble keeping the puck out of the net. They're a team that is not in the playoff hunt and will be very hard-pressed to try to get back in it. And so when I look at the Seattle Kraken, they're a team that's trying to learn too, and they're more experienced than the Sharks are. They've got some pretty impressive free agents in Montour and Stevenson.
Well, I'm looking at their playoff experience on this team. I mean, you know, you take a look at Jaden Schwartz. He's got 102 career playoff games. Kaapo Kakko comes here in that trade with the Rangers. He's got 44 playoff games and some pretty intense ones in the last couple of years. Vince Dunn, Adam Larson. You know, you talked about Montour. I mean, even Andre Burakovsky's got 93 playoff games.
Yeah, and Chandler Stephenson's got two Stanley Cups. Montour's just coming off a Stanley Cup. This is a group of individuals who have tons of experience in this league, but for some reason, what's been put together by Ron Francis and the management team and the coaching as well with Dan Bylsma and his staff, they just can't seem to find a groove.
Well, it's not time for anybody to feel sorry for the Seattle Kraken, I can tell you that. The San Jose Sharks are coming up here with a purpose in mind, and the lineup is going to change ever so slightly. We're going to see Marc-Edouard Vlasic with his dad Ed in attendance back in the lineup tonight. Jack Thompson will sit it out. Askarov is going to get the start in goal. He's going to be playing in the American Hockey League All-Star game coming up, by the way. So that's a great honor for him. And Carl Grundstrom gets back in the lineup. What's been the Carl Grundstrom story this year for you?
For me, it's an old coaching thing. And this is going to be critical of the Sharks coaches, but I'm critical of all the coaches that way. I was critical of our coaching staff way back when I was doing it, is that we sit guys out that we only give 7 or 8 minutes to in a game. It makes zero sense. Like, the guys who have the biggest impact on a win or a loss aren't held accountable, but the fourth line guy who plays 7 minutes is. It doesn't make any sense. But that's, you do it for various reasons as a coach, but when the player comes and asks you, how come I'm sitting out, coach? I only got 8 minutes. You really don't have a good answer. You can say to them, well, because we need you to do more. Well, give me more time on the ice and I'll do more. And then you come back with, well, do more and I'll give you more time on the ice. It's a catch-22. It's a no-win situation for Grundstrom. It's a no-win situation for a lot of those fourth-line guys. And sometimes it's just merely a numbers thing. And it's not just a San Jose Shark coaches thing. It's every coach and every hockey team across the world.
It is, and it reminds me of an old story. When I was in the American Hockey League with the New Haven Nighthawks, a couple of guys got reassigned to the New Haven team from the Los Angeles Kings. Rogge Vachon was the general manager, and one of the guys, Craig Duncanson, got called in, and he said, you played really well, you're doing a good job, but we're going to send you to the American Hockey League to New Haven. And he said, well, why? And the answer was, well, you didn't get any hat tricks. You didn't get any game winners, you know, so we're going to send you back. And he said, Rogge, I had two shifts in the game. How could I get a hat trick or a game winner? And then he said, you didn't do anything. You're going back to New Haven.
Yeah, that's
but
exactly
yeah, that's kind of the way it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is.
Exactly it. And it's just, it simply comes down to we've got, you know, you got 24 or 25 guys and you can't play them all. And fortunately you can't. But when you watch Grundstrom play from my, just the eye test, to me, he hustles. He tries to do what he's supposed to do as a fourth-line guy. He keeps it simple. If you looked at Grundstrom and said, okay, who could I be more like? I guess Barkley would be the guy to look at. Barkley Goodrow. I mean, I love the way he plays. I love the way he hustles. I love the way he skates on D. I love how physical he is. Maybe it's a little bit more of that, or maybe they want more skill. But I hope at least, we're not privy to this, but I hope at least the coaching staff is giving him that instruction. This is what we want from you in order for you to play more.
And that's what you hope they do, and that's what you expect. Looks to me like they're doing it for balance, too.
Yeah.
You got Barkley Goodrow back on the right-wing side with Luke Cunnan in the middle and with Nikolai Kovalenko on the left, kind of an intriguing group of three. Colin White, his first game back in the NHL in a little while. What were your thoughts on?
Smart. Really good hockey IQ. Watched him with the CUDA this year when I've been broadcasting those games, and he is a very reliable, trustworthy, dependable player. Can play the penalty kill pretty smartly as well.
Well, I think he did a really good job, too, and he'll center that fourth line with Walker Duehr and Carl Grundstrom. And the top six aren't going to change too much. Will Smith, 5-game point scoring streak. You know, it was really something before the game. All the media people talking to all the coaches, and every question was about Macklin versus Crosby. And I'm thinking, hey, what about this kid Will Smith? He's got a 5-game point scoring streak now, and he's starting to really figure it out.
That's the key, starting to really figure it out. You can see that the game has slowed down for him, or he sped up to meet it. This game is all about speed and skill, and Will has the skill. He wasn't using his speed, but he's starting to now. He's seeing the game better, thinking the game better. The game slowed down for him, and it's paying off. And I think the guys he's playing with really help.
Joey Decord will be in the nets for the Seattle Kraken going against Yaroslav Askarov. And we want to remind everybody, we take this opportunity only a few times a year, that we will have the broadcast for you starting at 7 o'clock Pacific time tonight. But remember, it's a national TV broadcast, so if you want to sync up our broadcast feed, to the national feed from ESPN. We encourage you definitely to do that using the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. Until then, that's it for the Morning Skate today.
You've been listening to the Sharks Morning Skate. Make sure you're listening all season long to the latest Sharks news and information right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.